Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have John Christensen, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Small Cap Core Strategy. John, the start of 2026 has not been for the faint of heart. We are continuing to see increased volatility on a daily basis, influenced by geopolitical risks, as well as AI and its potential long-term influence, whilst also seeing risk gauges like high yield spreads remaining at historically lower levels. Can you give your view of market performance in the first quarter and its impact on the strategy's relative performance?
Yeah, so Q1 2026 financial markets were another roller coaster that were dominated by high volatility driven by the Middle East conflict, causing a 63% surge in Brent oil in March, and inflating commodity prices after the initiating of military activity in Iran. Equities struggled as tech dipped, while value stocks marginally outperformed. Markets fell for most of the quarter, briefly entering correction territory before a late March surge. Fears of AI overspending and potential AI-driven market volatility caused a rotation away from mega-cap tech stocks, though some, like Meta and Amazon, saw accelerated capital expenditures. For the equity markets, major indices dropped, with the NASDAQ falling 7.1% and the Dow slipping 3.6%. As the quarter ended, the uncertainty in the Middle East and energy supply disruptions has raised potential recession risk fears. For our benchmark, the Russell 2000 Index, it eked out a less than 1% return in Q1. While the Russell 2000 Growth Index fell almost 3%, and the Value Index increased almost 5%. In terms of dissecting the Russell 2000 Index in Q1, no surprise that energy led the way in terms of sector performance, increasing a whopping 38% in 3 months, by far the best sector. This was followed by materials, industrials, and consumer staples. Our lack of energy exposure created a meaningful headwind to our performance. In terms of high versus low quality, the story was very mixed, with no discernible leadership between the two. However, we did see favorable stock selection, especially in industrials where we have an overweight versus the benchmark. This was enough to overcome some weakness we had in financials and led to slight outperformance in small cap core relative to our benchmark. So, given the headwinds and volatility of the markets in Q1, we are pleased with the performance of the small cap core portfolio.
John, can you discuss a few of the strategy's holdings that were standout detractors and contributors to performance for the first quarter?
In terms of top contributors to the portfolio in the quarter, they were Toro, RBC Bearings, Acushnet, EMCOR, and Landstar System. Let's talk about Acushnet. Growth in U.S. golf rounds played has supported strong demand for Titleist golf balls and clubs. Golf equipment sales also benefit from the launch of Acushnet's new Titleist Pro V1 balls and T-Series irons. In terms of those names in the portfolio that detracted the most, they were Corvell Corp, Pool Corp, Mullis & Company, Jack Henry, and Manhattan Associates. Getting into a little more detail on Mullis, the company's shares declined along with the broad decline of investment banking stocks caused by market concerns around AI disruption affecting M&A markets, as well as elevated oil prices due to the conflict in the Middle East.
John, can you talk about the impact of the invasion of Iran and the spike in oil prices on the strategy, both directly and indirectly?
Obviously, the conflict in Iran has unleashed oil prices and their derivatives in a pretty immediate way as investors speculate their impact across businesses and their growth rates and financials. While the length of this conflict could ultimately determine the magnitude of this impact, we strive to find businesses that have a few attributes that should mitigate some of these direct effects. One is pricing power. Having a business model where you can take some price without a large impact on demand is powerful during these times of cost pressure. In addition, a capital-light business model, where energy inputs are minimized to any extent, can also be beneficial in this type of environment. Now, this is not to imply any sort of immunity on these issues, but again, the ability to withstand and outperform during these trying times, especially versus your peer group, can be very helpful in compounding returns over the long run.
John, can you discuss any holdings within the strategy where AI obsolescence fear has had an impact on performance and why you continue to hold them?
The fear of AI obsolescence has been gripping the market over the past year, with an acceleration of that fear in the most recent quarter. Many sectors have seen some form of negative price impact from this distress. The software companies in particular have been hit as worries that large language models such as Claude by Anthropic could supplant many of these companies' core business offerings. Investors have taken a sell now, ask questions later approach to these stocks. Portfolio companies such as CorVel have seen a direct impact from this. We believe the market has taken a very myopic view on these businesses, forgetting about the core customer base and the embeddedness these companies have in place. We feel that our companies should be able to utilize the AI technology in their favor to win clients and create efficiencies in their cost structure to improve margins over the long term. We are just at the beginning of this process. We find businesses that have a competitive moat, taking into account peers that could utilize AI to enhance their competitive position, of course. AI has the added benefit of enhancing revenue opportunities and lowering operating costs. This can be a powerful combination, one that we see impacting small mid-cap stocks at an even greater rate than those of larger entities. This is what gives us confidence in earnings growth expectations for our companies into the foreseeable future. This has always been our ongoing task, but the speed at which AI is being utilized creates the need to be even more diligent than prior years.
John, would you say your strategy has greater exposure to companies implementing AI versus pure play hardware exposure? And if so, why?
Yeah, I would think of the overall AI exposure in our portfolio as more overall impact versus just a software versus hardware dimension. As I said before, we need to find businesses that can create pricing power from a capital-efficient balance sheet with low fixed costs. AI is infiltrating all aspects of our economy in terms of shaking up the competitive dynamic. So we need to be aware and alert of all competitive threats as a result. Longer term, we need to find strong companies. Yes, we will have these shorter-term disconnects in the market where volatility and fear create weakness across the board. But financial performance that is shown to be above market and consistent usually outperform over the long run.
John, do you think quality companies who are incorporating AI into their business will be able to increase profitability greater than commodity companies in the future?
We are seeing signs of our portfolio companies employing AI tools into their business models at a greater rate. I would describe the efforts as early, since many of the main beneficiaries of AI up to now have been the larger cap names. This should make sense, as those investing the most should see the initial windfall. However, AI has the added benefit of enhancing revenue opportunities and lowering operating costs. This can be a powerful combination, one that we see impacting small and mid-cap stocks at an even greater rate than those of larger entities. This is what gives us confidence in earnings growth expectations for our companies in the foreseeable future. While we believe the AI can benefit all companies, including those with more commoditized products, those with more specialized services and products with competitive moats have a greater range of benefits given their flexible business models. Of course, you know, we need to see where AI can impede the competitive moats of these companies as well. This has always been our ongoing task, but the speed at which AI is being utilized creates the need to be even more diligent than in prior years.
John, can you speak about the potential impact of weakness in the private equity and credit markets on the strategy, if any?
The recent weakness in the private credit markets can impact different parts of the financial markets. For example, financing for public companies that utilize the funds for growing their businesses can lead to business disruption and lower valuations. The IPO market can also see weakness down the road due to a lower number of credible companies that could come public. While there may be some indirect exposure in our portfolios through deals being made, companies such as Moelis and their investment banking segment, for example, our businesses are usually very diverse and have no direct exposure to private credit. Also, in terms of finance, we have businesses that keep leverage relatively low due to their high free cash flow generating business model.
John, what types of changes were made in the portfolio?
In terms of transactions during the quarter, we did take advantage of some of our volatility to the market. We added Pool Corp to the portfolio and sold out of our position in Rightmove. We also took advantage of CorVel's stock price decline to increase our position.
Lastly, John, can you describe where you see the benefits of holding this strategy versus a passive strategy over the medium term?
You know, when taking into account what we've just said, we believe that our company should be able to accelerate their earnings growth potential through the AI tools discussed, as well as the valuation lag as compared to lower quality names. Remember that passive strategies hold lower quality and non-profitable businesses. While there may be time periods, including the last 18 months, where the market favors these types of companies, over the long run, historically, markets have shown to favor businesses with consistent and profitable earnings. These are the companies we seek to invest in. This is what provides confidence to us, high-quality investors, going forward.
John, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.